My dearly beloved in Christ, we have spoken in past years about the institution of the Feast of Corpus Christi, which is observed on the third Thursday after Trinity Sunday, which was last Thursday, several days ago. But I'd like to briefly recount that story. There was a holy nun who lived in Liège, Belgium. She is referred to as Saint Juliana of Liège. And she kept being bothered by a vision. And the vision was a disk of light, like the moon, with part of it missing. And she wondered what this meant. And then it was revealed to her that our Divine Lord wanted there to be a feast in honor of his precious body and blood in the Holy Eucharist. And the disk symbolized the liturgical year, and the part that was missing indicated that there wasn't a feast in honor of the Holy Eucharist. Yes, we have Holy Thursday, but on Holy Thursday our attention is taken up with so many things. Moreover, it occurs during Holy Week, a sorrowful time. And so there was not this opportunity to have a joyful celebration of the institution of this blessed sacrament, our Lord's own body and blood. Now, this nun kept being bothered by this vision, and she told her confessor and her superior. And word came to a priest in the city of Liège in Belgium, who was very interested in that. And I believe the feast was observed locally. Well, by divine providence, that priest went on to become the Pope. And when he became Pope, he instituted this feast. This was in the 13th century. And he commissioned Saint Thomas Aquinas to make the arrangement of the proper of the Mass and of the divine office. And in doing so, Saint Thomas wrote a number of hymns in honor of the Holy Eucharist, the Pange Lingua, which we use in the procession to be a hymn at Vespers, the Sacri Solemniis for Matins, and so forth. He wrote at least four hymns. And we take portions of those and arrange them to suitable music and sing them. So many of the hymns you hear, the Adorote Devote, the Ecce Panis Angelorum, Pange Lingua, Tantum Ergo, O Salutaris from Benediction, all of those were written by St. Thomas. Beautiful hymns. But I would like especially to comment on the Pange Lingua, which is sung to many different melodies, a beautiful hymn in honor of the Blessed Sacrament. And the first verse of the Panis Angelicus, Panis Angelicus fit Panis Hominum, bread of angels, heavenly bread, becomes the bread of men. And it goes on, dat Panis Celicus figuris terminum. This heavenly bread gives an end to figures, meaning there were things in the Old Testament that were types, that foreshadowed. But when our Lord instituted the Holy Eucharist, those figures were fulfilled. So to speak, our Lord put an end to those figures. And also, St. Thomas wrote about this in the sequence, the Laudation Salvatorum, which we had at this Mass between the Epistle and Gospel. These different things in the Old Testament, such as the sacrifice of Isaac, such as the Paschal Lamb, but especially the manna in the desert. And you know how the chosen people were fed for 40 years by this miraculous bread that appeared outside their tents each morning. And it provided all the nourishment they needed, all the nutrients. Just as the Holy Eucharist provides what we need in our spiritual life. So this heavenly bread gives an end to figures. And then the next line, O res mirabilis manducat dominum pauper servus et humilis, which means, O wonderful thing, a poor man, a servant, a lowly one, eats his Lord. This reminds us of the gospel that I just read for the second Sunday after Pentecost. Our Lord tells about a feast. And this man prepares a great feast, and he invites many, and they make excuses why they cannot come. And so he sends his servants out, and he says to them, all this food is ready, is prepared, and those invited have shown themselves to be unworthy. Go out into the streets and the byways and the alleyways, and bring in the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind, so that my house may be filled, my banquet may be eaten. And his servants go out and do just that. And are we not the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame spiritually? So often we're blind to spiritual things. We're like poor cripples when it comes to advancing in the spiritual life. We are certainly the lowly and the blind and the lame and the poor and the servants. And so that is what St. Thomas refers to in this hymn, the story from the Gospel. How good is our divine Lord that he invites us to come to receive Holy Communion, even though we know we are unworthy and there is nothing we can do to make ourselves completely worthy. We'll never be fully worthy. Nevertheless, even though we're very conscious of our human weakness, our frailty, our many sins, as long as we are in the state of grace, we have the right intention and have observed the fast, our Lord wants us to come and receive him. He invites us because he knows our spiritual need. If we were to stay away from Holy Communion for long periods of time without any good reason, we could not maintain the state of grace. Our Lord said this in the Gospel that is read on Corpus Christi. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall not have life in you. Our Lord gave us this heavenly food to sustain our spiritual life. What joy we have on this feast, and what gratitude should fill our hearts to thank our Lord for the institution of this sacrament. And we should ask ourselves, what use do I make of this blessed sacrament? St. John Bosco says, there are two things the devil fears: fervent communion and frequent and devout visits to the Blessed Sacrament. Those are two things that put the devil to flight: fervent Holy Communion and visiting our Lord devoutly in the Blessed Sacrament, where he is there day and night, and we can come and have an audience with him. If you were going to have an audience with a very important person, you would mark the date on your calendar. You would make sure that you were clean and had your best clothing on, and you observed the very best manners and so forth. But we're not here speaking about an audience with an earthly ruler or important person, but it's with God himself. And he is there ever ready to hear us, to listen to us, and to impart his graces. So again, fervent Holy Communion, frequently visiting the Blessed Sacrament, and I might add, devoutly attending the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. These are the things that bring tremendous graces into our souls. Now, speaking of Corpus Christi, the idea of a procession going out of the church with the monstrance, with the Blessed Sacrament, is something that began in the Middle Ages. And we read how in the villages, in the towns, they would go all out to decorate the path where our Lord would be taken in the procession. If you've ever read the story of the Curia of Ars, you know that St. John Marie Vianney spent 14, even sometimes 16 hours in the confessional. Slept very little, said his prayers, his mass, ate almost nothing, and practically lived in the confessional. But there's one day of the year, one day out of 365, that he would leave the confessional to attend to something else. And that was Corpus Christi. It says in his biography that he was like a little boy going around the village to inspect the different altars and the path. And he was filled with such joy, this youthful joy, excitement about the procession of the Blessed Sacrament. When we have our outdoor procession here, it's very short. But in Catholic countries, the Blessed Sacrament would be taken throughout the parish, throughout the village. And actually, the purpose of the outdoor altars was to provide a place for the priest to rest. He's carrying this monstrance, to set down the monstrance, rest his arms a little bit for the next leg. About 10 years ago, I happened to be in Spain. And I was in the city of Toledo, they would pronounce it Toledo, in Spain, beautiful old city, and I was there on Corpus Christi. And I noticed this excitement and realized they were preparing for a procession for Corpus Christi. So I went to observe the route and the procession from a distance. And it was very impressive. There actually were some men on horses at one part. There were all these different parts of the procession. A large number of clerics and seminarians in cassock and surplice, probably 30 or 40 or more, marching, I think, four abreast with their hands folded. The procession was very impressive. What was not impressive was the people. The people who lined the streets, just looking around, it was just like it'd be for a parade. I didn't see the piety, didn't see the devotion that you would see in faithful Catholics. That's what Vatican II has done. But at least they have still preserved this practice of the procession. So let us reflect then today on the gift that God has given to us in his own body and blood. Remember that we are the poor and the blind and the lame. But that does not mean that you should stay away from the awareness of your unworthiness. As long as we know that we are in the state of grace, we humbly approach our Lord and beg his help. Beg him to nourish our souls with his own body and blood, that we might love and serve him better. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.